And Deuteronomy chapter 5. I remember Israel is about to cross the Jordan River on the east side of the Jordan River, and they're hearing now in Deuteronomy God reminding them of the covenant they made, that He made with them, and calling them as they go in to obey His word. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 33. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image in any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.' These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly in the mountain from the midst of the fire, the cloud and the thick darkness, with a loud voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. So it was when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, 'Surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire, as we have and live? You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments. And always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And those are God's words. As the Ten Commandments are given here, the covenant the Lord made with His people is remembered. Remember, He gave it back in Exodus, some 39, 40 years ago, and before this time, and Exodus 19 and 20. And this second generation, who were either but children or not present at Mount Sinai because they were not yet born, are said here that the Lord made the covenant not with their fathers, but it says, but with us. This is communicating that the law of God directly confronts all people, and especially all the people of God in every age. Because yes, the first generation was there, and they heard this covenant. But here He's reminding them that this is not just for those who heard, but those who receive it and hear it even today, and even in our presence this morning. This law is for you. And then through verse 21, we have the second giving of the Ten Commandments, and the rest of the passage then describes the mediation and ministry of Moses, which the ministry and mediation of Moses points us to our need for Jesus Christ to be our mediator forever. We need someone who goes between God and man, because God is holy, and God's people and all people have sinned against Him. To be a child of God, it is good, like Israel here, to have a great sense of fear in meeting the Lord. Not a fear just of punishment, but that fear of the Lord that we see described in Scripture, that He is gracious, He is good to all of His children. But He's also a consuming fire, which we learn here, not just in Hebrews. He's a consuming fire and He is holy. And this sets the stage for reverence towards the Lord and awe, which is the fear of the Lord. Something very much lost in our day, even in the church, broadly speaking, as well as keeping the commandments of God, lost today in the church, or most of it. We have so many of God's people have turned from keeping His commandments because why? There is no understanding of His holiness. There's no understanding that of how great of sinners they are. They have a lack of understanding, and they have no reverence for the Lord. Well, how do we come to grow in having reverence for the Lord and keeping His commandments? We see in part here our need, because of our sin, for a covenant mediator, one who stands in the gap, again, between our holy Lord and an unholy people. And that one, of course, is Jesus Christ, who is the Lord Himself, who lives to make intercession for His people. He prays for us always, and who is our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, 1 John says. And so we come in our prayers to God. When we do come to the Lord, we come in our prayers and our worship. Let us come through Jesus Christ and with an understanding of His holiness, not only His goodness, but His holiness. And so have that fear of the Lord with reverence and awe. Let's pray. Father, we give You praise that You are a God who, when You brought Your people out of Egypt from slavery, that You gave us this great picture that when You redeem Your people out of slavery to sin, then You make and give them Your law for Your people to keep. And so they were given the Ten Commandments. And they heard Your voice. And they saw that the mountain burned with fire, and the smoke coming up from it burned their nostrils, so that they would not come near. to you because you are the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And you gave the commandments, not only making covenant with your people and saying that that we who believe would be of that royal priesthood, a holy nation, all those things, and that through Jesus Christ alone, that we would be a people, even as we heard in Sabbath school, we would be a people who love to keep your commandments and who strive after keeping your commandments and do keep your commandments for the most part. And always hating our sin when we enter into it and turning to you when we have committed sin. Seeking forgiveness, seeking that communion that we have with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are thankful for the Holy Spirit who is in our hearts, who when we've heard this, even the commandments today, if we were not just hearing with our ears, but hearing with our hearts, that we were convicted of our sin, of having other gods before you that we've made in this world, that we have created images or idols of our families, of money, of our work, of many different things, even sports and various things. And we've bowed down and served these things, worshiped them, instead of you alone. And we've taken your name in vain. We've taken your word and we've used it lightly in a joking manner. We've used it to even to manipulate at times in our families, our spouses. We've used it to communicate something to make perhaps even the gospel, when we tell people about Jesus, we've made the gospel sound better, at least to sound better in man's ears than what it truly is. Father, we've broken the Sabbath day. We've not worked diligently 6 days. We have not come on this day and rested in you. We've rested in various things in this world. We have not honored our fathers and our mothers. We've disobeyed as children. We've disobeyed our parents. We've not honored them, but laughed at them or scoffed at them. And this even with our superiors and inferiors, as we learn as it is applied throughout Scripture. We have murdered in our hearts. We have hated people, been angry at people, been bitter towards people. We have committed adultery. Some here who have done so, but also lusted, all of us, lusted in our hearts, not after only other people, but other things, and lusted after better, not better, but more pleasing or fleshly ways in our life, even lusting in that sin of gluttony after food, and many other things, Father. We have stolen from you. We've stolen time. You've given us precious time, and we've sat around and been lazy or wasted it on things that are not honoring to you or for the glory of your kingdom. And Father, we have lied and borne false witness. We've slandered, we've gossiped, and we have coveted. And even as we heard here what coveting is in Deuteronomy, lusting after other things, wanting other things that are not ours and cannot have. We've broken your commandments, all of them. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us. We hate sinning. If we are your children, we truly hate sinning. We hate when we are supposed to do good and righteous things or have righteous thoughts or speak righteously according to your word, and we don't. And we hate it when we know that we are forbidden from doing such things, but we still do them. We've broken commandments, your commandments, not only that which we know we've committed, we've also committed things we don't know which we've committed. Because we're ignorant. You know the thoughts and intentions of our hearts more so than we do. Because you're the God who is all-knowing. And Father, there's many sins that we've forgotten that we've committed. Or don't know we've committed. Father, forgive us of those sins. Reveal them to us that we might turn from them unto you. In Jesus Christ alone. And Father, please, please forgive us. Give us sorrow and grief over our sins. And joy in Jesus Christ alone. Father, we come today knowing that we need a mediator. We need Jesus Christ, your Son, as our mediator, each one here does. Otherwise, we will die forever. For who can hear your word and survive? Who can live after hearing you without a mediator? And so, Father, we give you praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us now, who is our mediator, who's also King, who sits on the throne and rules over the church, is the head of the church and rules over all nations and all peoples and all things, even all the creation and the universe and everything. And Father, forgive us for not having a high view of who you are. Having too low of a view and thinking you like more like man or the creation. And Father, as Christ sits on the throne and rules over all, we pray that even for our government, as we are called to do, that you would save and turn our rulers, president, congressmen, mayors, governors, all of them, at every level, turn them and cause them to bow the knee to Jesus Christ alone, who sits on the throne and who is in authority over them, who rules over them, that they would love Him and rule according to your word, not according to what man thinks. And then, Father, we pray for our souls that you would not only forgive us, but build us up in the faith today, even as we come and worship you, that you would grow us in Christ by your grace, that you would build us up as the church of Jesus Christ, as a congregation, one little congregation of your whole church throughout the world today. And that this would be the day of salvation for many, even from here, who are amongst us today, of our children, any others who might be amongst us who do not know you. Father, bring them to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and communion with Him. And then, Father, we pray not only for our souls, but our bodies, because you've given us not only souls, but bodies, too. We ask that you would heal those who are struggling. Heal those who are constantly struggling in their bodies, but even weak at times. And so we pray for the Maine's daughter-in-law. You would heal her. You would heal Dina and Jeannie and others who may be constantly in pain, even and struggle in body. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us, not just so that we could have healthy bodies, because that, in the end, is vanity. But strengthen us for the very purpose to serve you and to worship you and to exalt your name, even the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, that many would hear the glorious good news of Jesus Christ and come and bow the knee to Him and believe unto salvation. That is our hope and our prayer, not only for all those who have gathered here this morning, but for all who are in Grandview, Kansas City, and the world. Your elect would come in and be brought in at the right time. Send your Holy Spirit to do the great work of revival in the church of Jesus Christ. For the church has turned from you in many ways in our nation. Turn them to you. And if we are part of that, if we have turned from you, turn us as well. And reform us to be in keeping with your word and your word alone for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.